Okay, Perek Vav. Do over. That's how it goes in life sometimes. Okay, so the Maharal begins with a very fundamental question that that the philosophers ask. Yesh mi bnei adam vehein anshei chikrei lev. There are certain individuals who are philosophical by nature, who like to inquire deeply about things. Vaholchim bedarchei hafilosofim, and they walk in the ways of the philosophers. And in the way of being inquisitive, in the way of trying to explore things, they want to understand the nature of things, and they apply that line of questioning to Torah and mitzvahs. Now, the Maharal, as you'll see here, and as we've seen earlier, is somewhat critical of those who are overly philosophical. He was critical of doctors earlier. He was critical of philosophers earlier. And it's because the Maharal, and maybe more so than anyone in terms of some of the greatest Jewish philosophers of all time, the Chachmei Yisrael, the Maharal was a staunch defender of Torah and Chazal. And the Maharal wants us to understand that everything in Torah is endlessly deep, as he's going to explain tonight. And therefore, when we even raise a question from a perspective of Teva, or from a perspective of natural philosophy, we're missing a big piece of the puzzle. And that's why the Maharal, on a certain level, is poking fun, or certainly at the very least being somewhat critical of the philosophers who ask this question. You'll see he hesitates to answer the question, but feels that it's incumbent, since people have the question, it's incumbent upon him to address the question. But here's the question that people ask. Tumua be'enayim, and it seems like a very good question. For us, it seems like a very strong question. Tumua be'enayim ma'od be'inyan ha-mitzvos ha-maisios. They greatly wonder about the nature of mitzvos maisios. If you remember, we learned in the second parak how maybe one of the differences between Torah and mitzvos is that while Torah is absolutely lamala min ha-teva, mitzvos are grounded in physical reality. So my lulav actually comes from a physical tree, and my shofar comes from a physical animal. And many of the mitzvos that we do are made up of or involve things of this world. Don't eat milk and meat, and don't cook together milk and meat. Again, I'm taking the substance of this world in order to serve Hashem. So the question the philosophers ask, the philosophical question is, how is it possible that a person performs mitzvos maisios, physical acts in this world, albeit commanded by Hashem, and how is it possible that as a reward for that, sheyizka ha'adam hatzlacha nitzchis ba'olam hanivdal ayidei ha'mitzvah shehi gashmis? How do I do a physical act in this world, a gashmiyazdika thing, albeit commanded by Hashem, and somehow that has the ability to prepare me for eternal life in a world that's nivdal, in a world that is not physical at all, in a world that is utterly transcendent? How do my physical, in terms of cause and effect, how do physical activities in this world produce a spiritual result or make me worthy for a spiritual reward? That's the question. Va'amru kima yo'il ma'isa gashmi ala nefesh liknos al yedei zeh shetichya netzach ba'olam hanivdal b'makon she'im sham ma'isa gashmi. How does, again, and this is a question, by the way, he's talking about Jewish philosopher. He's talking about the Ralbag in his Melchamos Hashem. He's talking about the Kuzari. Some of Jewish philosophers, classic Jewish works of philosophy, that ask the question, again, not, God forbid, questioning that there's no answer, but wondering, how is it possible that a physical act in this world, mitzvos which are engaged in dvarim gashmiim, prepare me through that maisa gashmi, for eternal life? That's the question that they ask. And we know the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says in Daf Yad Zayin that in Olam Haba, there is no eating, there is no drinking, there's no period of arivia. Rather, tzaddikim or yoshvin, atroseim or asheim, they wear crowns on their head, and they're nanim iziv ashchina. So how do my physical activities in this world translate into reward in a world that is so radically different? If the mitzvahs themselves involve food, involve drink, involve pruravu, involved physical activities, so how is it that the reward for them is entirely spiritual? V'yoser mizahe matmiim. And furthermore, they ask the question, they refine the question as follows. Ki'ilu hayu ha-mitzvos kulam tchunos tovos b'nefesh ha-adam. If the mitzvos in their entirety were able to refine the soul of a person, if we felt that the mitzvos were the types of things that make us better people, kamo mitzvah tzedakah. You give tzedakah, there's a sense that that makes you into a good person. U'mitzvas lo sisna achicha bilvavecha, not to despise your fellow Jew in your heart. It refines a person. It makes sense to us. V'lo ta'amod al damre echa, don't stand by your friend's blood. You have an obligation to provide for someone, to protect someone. That's true physically, spiritually, different ways Chazal deal with that pasuk. So all of these mitzvot, tzedakah, not hating people, helping other people out, that these are the refinement of the character of the one who performs these things. So then the philosophers say we can understand how maybe that translates into a reward. Well, how so? Efshar lomar, d'mikol makum yikne ha'odem al yedeyem tchunos tovos, u'misrachek menara, I acquire good character by doing these things, and it distances me from evil and negative behaviors. V'ne'emar ki Hashem yisbarach nosein tzchar tov l'mi shenimtze bo hatov, u'mishalein ra la'osei ra. In other words, according to the sheet of the philosophers, maybe the answer is that those mitzvos that help me to become a good person, meaning maybe enachanami, going back to the question, how does a physical activity translate into a spiritual reward? The answer might be enachanami. A physical act cannot translate into a spiritual reward. But a physical act, at least those that are the type that refine the character of a person, like the examples he gave, tzedakah, and not hating people, and having compassion on people, maybe it's not the act per se that equals the reward. It's not the asiya that brings on the reward, but rather what? The fact that it makes me into a good person. So once I am good, so then as a good soul, I can get a good portion in the world to come. Again, to use his words, shenimtza bo tov. It's the fact that I'm nimtzaboto, the fact that I've become, you know, a goodnik, I've become a good person. Not because I was osetov. It's not the act equals the reward. It's that the act transforms the person. And now my soul is spiritual enough, is refined enough to get a reward. So if the mitzvos were all of that nature, I could understand, say the philosophers. But what about mitzvos that don't really make me a better person? Now, you may find that statement jarring. We might argue right off the bat and say, what do you mean? If it's a tzivoy Hashem, if it's a command of God, it makes me a better person. Right? It doesn't have to have a ben adam l'chaveru feel-good dimension to it to make me into a good person. But the way the philosophers would raise the question of al mitzvah shatnis, kil ezra'im, right? God told us not to mix linen and wool. God told us not to plant certain types of produce together. Or not to work with certain type of animals, right? Kilei Zrayim, Kilei Behema, Kilei Begadim, not to have Klayim, Shatnis in my clothing. Mitzvah Shchita min HaTzavar v'lo min HaOref. The fact that we shecht from the neck, from the front of the neck, and not from the Oref, not from the back of the neck. Uva Mikdash, and in the base of Mikdash, Malika, when we shecht the bird, when the Kohen shechts the bird with his fingernail, it's Dafka min HaOref v'lo min HaTzavar. Sometimes we cut the animal from the front, sometimes we cut the animal from the back. Right, so says the Maharal, or again asking from the perspective of the philosophers, imin ha'oref hu ma'isara, if cutting an animal from the back was bad, so lama nasar shchita menatzavar b'mikdash. Right, so then why in the base of mikdash do they dafka perform malika in that way? If imin atzavar hu tov, and if cutting from the front is good, so then why by the mikdash do they do the opposite? In other words, there are certain things that don't seem to be good or bad per se, in terms of changing the character of a person. In some situations you do like this, some situations you do like that. So again, if Torah and mitzvot was just made up of all these types of mitzvot that seem to make me a better person, a more compassionate person, a more sensitive person, a more giving person, I get it. But how does wearing shatnez, or not wearing shatnez, or not mixing certain types of produce, or shechting from the front, or shechting from the back, and all the various mitzvot of the Torah, how do those physical activities of not eating milk and meat, and how do the laws of kashrus, or again, blowing a shofar, or shaking a lulav, how do these things transform my soul, making it worthy of eternal life? In a world that has nothing to do with eating or drinking or intimacy, which again are the halachos that govern my life in this world. So what's the cause and effect of my behaviors in this world and the spiritual reward that is given to such a person who practices these mitzvos? So this is the question of the philosophers. Okay, so says the Maharal, in response to the philosophers, And they they dig deep to try to find all sorts of explanations according to their understanding of things. Answers which are not rooted in Torah, not rooted in the tradition of our sages. And to those who know the secrets of the Torah, a small portion of Jews who are given access to the secrets of Torah know that all of these answers don't even come close to explaining the essential answer. The Maharal, in his Ber HaGola, which is really his defense of Chazal and the depth of Torah wisdom, he writes that the philosophers, and you'll see he's about to explain in this way, the philosophers only try to explain things logically and rationally. But we're dealing with Torah and mitzvahs, which are not logical and not rational. And therefore, the Maharal writes over there in the Ber HaGola, right, he compares the difference between analyzing Teva, or the Chachma of the Umas HaOlam, which is real Chachma, the nations of the world have real Chachma, compared to the Chachma of Torah and the Chachma of Chazal, which is a Chachma Pnimis, he calls it. It's a Chachma that has an inner dimension. That's the difference between us and the Umas HaOlam. And therefore, he says there are only exceptional individuals who have access, so to speak, to the secrets of the Torah. He gives a praise to the Ramban as an example. He calls the Ramban a Kadosh and a Chacham who had access to the deeper dimensions of Torah. But he says it's part of a secret, group of individuals who carry the Sodos HaTorah, the Pnimius HaTorah. So to really try to answer a question that's rooted in Pnimius HaTorah, to try to explain it al pi chachmas hateva, rational, logical philosophy, it already doesn't add up. Va'af kimin haroi shelo lahafshiv al she'lasam klal. Even though the Maharal says on a certain level we shouldn't even answer the question, because just entertaining the question in a certain sense undermines the very nature of Torah. Ki davar zeh masherotzim l'teit tziba mechayeves b'chol advarim. That which they want to explain by force, right? It has to be a certain way. Logic has to dictate that it makes sense. B'chol advarim. So the Maharal says, let me ask you something. Before you make me explain to you how shatness equals olam haba, and how basar v'chalav equals olam haba, and how taras hamishpacha and lulav and shofar equal olam haba, before we do that, let me ask you a question. Since you're so philosophical and you like to explain things logically, so let's talk about physical things. Can you explain all of physical reality? Before we start asking on spiritual reality, you want to perish in spiritual reality. You want to know how the spiritual realms work. Let's talk about the physical realms. Do we understand how the physical realms work? Now again, I'm not talking to the average person, right, who we could also ask this question to. If you've been on an airplane, how many of us actually understand how an airplane actually flies? But we know it works. So I'm able to do something or be engaged in something, even if I don't really understand. I take an Advil when I have a headache and it clears my mind. It clears my headache. I don't really understand the science behind it. And yet I know that it works. So if Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai and told me, if you take these spiritual medicines, it'll be good for your soul, I don't really need to understand how it works. But Maharal is not asking the average person. He's asking the wise philosopher. Oh, wise philosopher, have you already explained all of physical reality? Meaning, even the greatest scientists, can you truly explain all of the wonders of the natural world before you start asking about how does the neshama receive its reward beyond this world? Ilu haynu ra'im shenasnu lanu siba b'chol advar mativiyim apachusim ma'od. If you were able to answer, to resolve all of the quandaries and all of the questions about physical reality, which is very low compared to the spiritual question that, that we're asking now. Hayamuta aleinu l'teit lev al she'lasam. So then we can move on to the next level of questions and try to explain how do my physical activities in this world translate into spiritual rewards. V'im ki hevdil yesh kagvoa shamayim me'al ha'aretz. And even though there's obviously a vast difference between Torah and Teva, ki advar mativiyim heim ba'aretz, v'atorah lo timtza af v'shamayim, my physical reality manifests itself in the physical world. Torah is not even found in the heavens, ki im me'olam ha'elyon, Torah is beyond. As we spoke about earlier, Torah is totally l'malam at a Teva. Beyond Teva means even beyond the heights of heaven. Mikol makom, says the Maharal nonetheless, Hayamuta aleinu laseis lev ala sheila. But nonetheless, because it's a question that bothers people, it's incumbent upon us to address the question. But the Maharal is going to now just double down, and then next time we'll start to see how he answers the question. The Maharal doubles down on his point, and that is, we don't really have to answer. We shouldn't feel obligated, and it's an important point. Because as much as the Maharal is going to try to help us to understand the question, to understand and answer the question, the Maharal wants us to understand it's okay for us to not be bothered by the question. Because we don't even understand physical reality. Why are we getting caught up in trying to explain things which are utterly beyond us? Ach ein advarim kach ki advarim ativim kmo bale achayim va'af hatzmachim. Right, the Maharal says, I'm going to try to answer the question. I don't feel that it's incumbent to answer the question. I'm going to try to, but just realize that even dvarim tivyim, even animal life, even plant life, ein nostim lanu sibah v'tam, we can't explain it fully. I was learning earlier today with a high school, a young man from high school. It's in 11th grade. And I said to him what the Chazon Ish once commented upon looking at a beautiful flower. We were talking about the Derech Hashem of the Ramchal. I said to him, the Chazon Ish said that there's enough chachma, there's enough wisdom, there's enough elukus, there's enough godliness in a single flower that you could spend your whole life studying a flower. There's enough Hashem in a single rose, in a single tulip, that you could spend your whole life analyzing it and you still wouldn't crack the code. So now what? You're trying to figure out how mitzvos work? Says the Maharal, we don't understand how animals work. We don't understand how flowers work. We don't understand how the solar system works. We don't understand how anything works. Do we feel that we've answered fully the secret of every living being? Mispar gida ve'evarav. Do we know exactly why the number of limbs and the number of arteries and sinews and tissue and etc. that make up this animal or that animal? Why a giraffe has a long neck and why elephants have such big ears and what the nature of all of these creatures is? Do we have any understanding of it? L'chol echad siba v'ta'aro ha-miyuchad, each one with its own makeup, its own physical, you know, reality. Do we grasp it? Do we get it? Can we explain it? Can I explain why certain animals are fast and certain animals are slow, and why certain animals, you know, are able to fly and certain animals are able to swim, and what the nature of, you know, figure it out? V'chein litzmachim. The same thing is true about plant life. Do we understand? Have we even been able to identify and categorize, to give names to the various trees and plants of the world, let alone to understand the inner workings of them? And again, the Maharal takes a jab at the doctors. I apologize to the doctors who are present. But the Maharal takes a jab at the doctors who say, even those who do understand a lot about the body and do understand a lot about, you know, the nature of things. She'im nasnu sibahu la'echad min alef. If they've explained maybe one out of 1,000. I mean, we were seeing it so clearly now with everything that's happening, the myriad of opinions about, you know, what is the nature of COVID-19 and how does it work and how does it, how do antibodies work and how does spreading the disease work, the virus work, and why are some people, presenting very ill and some people are totally without symptoms? How does that happen? We don't have it all figured out. And even things that are much older have been studied for generations. We don't have it fully figured out. There's always exceptions. And even though they've offered explanations, we have yet to come to the absolute truth of even physical reality. As is well known to anyone who investigates their words. So let's conclude for tonight. Says the Maharal, so if this is true about physical reality, if we have yet to crack the code of the physical world, kol shekein b'dvar malokim, v'hem ha-mitzvos ha-alokios asher chayev ha-adam lifel. So all the more so when it comes to mitzvos, that it's incumbent upon us to do, as we learned in the earlier parakim. If we looked already back in Parak Aleph, we have to do mitzvos, and they do change us. How it works? Not necessarily something we need to answer. Lama yasapul azos v'lo yasapul acheres? Why do like this or not like that? It's ratzon Hashem. Just like I don't understand why I have an arm and why my hand has 5 fingers. Even my physical reality, which is so precise, the body is so precise, that much we know. And yet we still don't really understand how it works. If I wasn't created exactly this way, you know, God forbid a person is born with a minor defect of their heart. Right? So you say, it's a minor thing. What difference does it make? But it's a massive difference. Of course it is. It's so precise. So even though we don't really understand how it fully works, but we know how precise it is, so we have to believe, says the Maharal, the same thing is true about mitzvahs. All the more so, the precision by which a person lives his life in order to attain eternal life. Even if we don't fully understand why it is or how it is, that shouldn't be shocking to us. We say every time we go to the bathroom, and it's based on the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Samach, Asher Yotza Es Ha'adam, it's Maflila Asos. Why is it that some parts of the body are nikavim, nikavim, chalulim, chalulim? There's openings, there's closed parts, there's open parts. If open was closed, if closed was open, the whole system would break. It's a pella, it's a wondrous thing. This is not a wise question that really, again, requires our answers. If last we would first answer, again, physical reality, and that we have yet to solve, aval, nonetheless, as the Maharal, it is the way of Chachamim and Yodei Torah, those who know the secrets of the Torah, not to avoid questions, and therefore lo na'alim uvezet tamod al darchei Torah. We don't avoid the question, and therefore we will try to explain it b'derach haTorah. And we'll continue Mirtz Hashem next time, Tuesday night. I'm not sure exactly what time yet, but Mirtz Hashem Tuesday night, we'll begin to look at the Gemara in Brachos, where a person comments, Al kan sipur yagir achamecha. Why did Hashem say to send away the mother bird before taking the eggs or the chicks, right? If a person says, because God is trying to be merciful, if you try to offer an explanation for mitzvos, we say to such a person, don't say such a thing. So we'll have to see, what is the Maharal's approach in general to tamei ha-mitzvos, or sharshei ha-mitzvos, as the Sefer HaChinuch calls them, right? How do we understand the nature of mitzvos? To what degree are we supposed to try to make sense of mitzvos? So Mirtz Hashem will find out more about that on Tuesday night.